Is it on? Okay. All right. I tell you what, I want to share something with you I shared with the kids a couple weeks ago. If you will turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And if I find my place in my notes here, Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll be talking about grace. And if I quit saying you can tell I'm nervous. But it's a good nervous. It's a good nervous. And it says, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and it says, "For grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Listen, for grace are you saved. We're saved through grace. Grace is something we didn't deserve. Noah said that he found grace. Noah found grace. Noah had acts he had to do. He did acts. He obeyed the commandments, and he found grace by obeying the commandments. But that's not how we got grace. Okay? That's not how we've received grace. We receive grace freely. We receive grace freely. Look in Romans 5:8. Look at Romans 5:8. "But God committeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Before we were even saved, before we even got good, before we can even do as good as we could do, Christ died for us. God showed his favor toward us, gave us all his favor, and it was freely given. It was freely given. We didn't have to do anything for it. It was freely given. So Noah found grace by doing the commandments, but we didn't have to do anything for grace. It was given to us freely. Even though we're sinners, and even though we don't even live right now, we still have that grace. God's grace is infinite. Matter of fact, who can imagine getting more grace than what God has already given you? He can't give you any more. He's given you all that he can give you. He's given his only begotten son to die for you. And it's all the grace that you can get. I can't imagine anybody in here giving up their child for even one of their other children. But he gave up his only begotten son for us in the hopes that we would accept him as his Savior. And just the hope that we would. He doesn't make us. He doesn't do anything to coerce us, to get us to serve him or even believe in him. But he showed us that favor first. Because he loved us so much, he showed us that favor. Okay? Let's look in 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it's back up here, passing it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." His grace is sufficient. It's there when we need it. And it's all that we need. We can turn to God for everything we need. It's sufficient. It supplies us. We've got his favor all the time. It's sufficient for us. We don't need anything. We shouldn't need anything else but God's grace. Okay? But I just wanted to go over some things that grace is. And most of you already knew that. But turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. I read this verse, and when I read this verse, I said, what does it mean to do this? And it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." But grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? God's given us everything he's already, he's given us everything. How do you grow in grace? Do I get more? Do I get more grace than that? Can I get more grace than what God has already given us? But how do we grow in grace? Not only that, why? There's a reason why. If you look in verse 17, it'll tell you why. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before before. Beware lest you also, being led away with error of wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You know why we got to grow in grace? Because we can fall. That's why we got to grow in grace. Because we can fall. None of us has got it right down pat. None of us goes through every day and does not. I like to say none of us go through it. We go through every day and none of us sin. But that don't happen, does it? We mess up every day. We need grace. But God tells us to grow in grace. He's given us all that we have. He's given us all the grace that he can give us. But how do we grow in it? You know, I started reading a lot of verses about grace and reading all I could. You know what I found? The closer you get to God, you're growing in grace. The closer you get the mind of Christ, you're growing in grace. So the first two things, the only two points, sanctification. The more you set yourself apart from the world, the more you'll grow in grace. The next one is, now I'm going to get tongue-tied, sanctification and transformation. Transformation, you're going to transform your thinking. As Brother David's been preaching, I've loved these messages. It's been going right along with what God has showed me here about grace. You got to go not just what the commandments of God says. You got to go further. You got to get the mind of Christ in your heart. You've got to get that mind. See, one of the fears is, and I'll be honest, I got my bosses here tonight. I took an exam a couple weeks ago. The kids upstairs know it. I took an exam a couple weeks ago, and I aced it. Got a 100 on it. And my very words to my boss was, do not send me to do this because I don't know this. Just because I know all the answers doesn't mean I know how to do the job. The problem is with a lot of our kids, I'm afraid they know the answers but don't know Jesus at all. They know the answers. They know what to say when they're asked. They know when to say it. They know how to act and everything, but they don't know Jesus. See, they need to know Jesus, not just know of him and not just know the answers. They need to know all about him. They need to grow in that grace. They need to know exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Oh, yeah, he died on the cross. I can knock on 100 doors and I can get everybody knows Jesus. But do they know him? No, they don't know him. They ain't growing in grace. They don't know what Jesus actually did. They just know what to say. And it's a fear that we just learn to know what to say and what to say in that place when we get asked that. But we're not really growing in grace. See, to grow in grace, your mind is going to be transformed, renewed. See, one of the things that I liked about Pastor David's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount is it takes a commandment that's right, but then you see Jesus expounds on that. Says, no, it's more to it than that. It's not just the commandment. It's more to it than that. And I'll share with you the same thought that I had. One of the times when I got saved, after I got saved, I had an assistant pastor, youth pastor, hurt me. You say, how'd he hurt you? Well, I'll call it like it is. I got saved, and before I got saved, there was a real popularity in what they called wine coolers. And when I got saved, that was a typical drink. You go to 7-Eleven, you have the cooler over here. It had all these wine coolers, and I called them funny bottles. They were in the funny-shaped bottles. They weren't in a regular soda pop bottle or anything. They were in a funny-shaped, weird-shaped bottle. So I get to church. I probably saved maybe a year. I get to church. The youth group's there, and they're all playing. And guess what I see the assistant pastor have? And he has this funny bottle in his hand. First thing I think, wait a minute. I've seen things in that bottle before. That kind of bottle like that. It's like, is he really? I went around, what's he got in that? What's he drinking? What's he drinking? Now, he was drinking water. He was drinking water, excuse me. He was drinking water out of it. It had water in it. They started putting water in those funny bottles. Instead of just having a regular old plastic bottle, they started putting water in it. Perrier, I think it was, or something like that. Some of them funny. And I called them funny bottles because of the shape of them, but they had the same shape of those wine coolers and the beers and stuff that I knew that a year ago that I was drinking. And I just seen assistant pastor with one. You know how that hurt me? Now, I asked a lot of questions and found out, you know what I found out? If you're going to grow in grace, you're going to have to worry about those things. Because we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. That affected me. You know what the mind of Christ did? The mind of Christ worries about how what his actions do to you, Brian. He worries about what his actions are going to do to someone else. He worries about what he says is going to affect someone else. That's the mind of Christ. See, when we transform our mind to Christ, then we're going to be worried about other. We're not going to have this attitude as, well, everybody's got their sin. We're going to be worried about, you know what, how is this going to affect someone else? How is this going to affect someone else? You know, in the Bible in Corinthians, it talks about they were going to buy meat. And I'll finish with this. They go to the temples where they were worshiping idols and stuff, and they were killing animals and stuff, worshiping them to idols. And some of the Christians were going there and buying the meat because it was cheaper. And Paul told them, listen, some of them were offended by that. It highly offended some of them. And Paul told them, said, listen, if you go to somebody's house, don't ask where it's come from. They're not to tell you where it's come from. And if they do ask and offend them, don't do that. You're not to offend someone else. I wish I could say in my Christian life that I haven't watched other Christians bully, offend, and hurt other people out of fun. Say they're just joking. You know what? I can't think of anybody that's still in church that I've seen do that. Because they didn't pay attention to this. They're going to fall. You're going to fall. Your sanctification, you're going to have to be sanctified, you're going to have to purge yourself. It says in 2 Peter 3:11, and I'll leave this. See ye then that these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person you ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. You're to purge yourself. You're to purge yourself from that sin. You have to have a desire to be sanctified. You've got to have a desire to sanctify yourself. It's not just going to happen because you want it to happen or you got saved. It doesn't happen. You have to be one and say, you know what? I want this out of my life. I'm going to put it out of my life. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this sin in my life anymore. You're going to have to turn it off, get rid of it, do what you got to do to get it out. But it's not going to happen just because you want it to happen. You got to make an effort to do it. Paul said, I press for the mark. It's an effort to be sanctified. To grow in grace is hard because you're going to have to be sanctified. You're going to have to be willing to purge yourself from those sins. And you're going to have to be willing to transform your mind and think about others more than you think of yourself. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes, and I'll pray and I'll close. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for this night. And God, I thank you for your grace that you gave us. But God, you commanded us to grow in it. God, we to grow in it so we don't fall ourselves. God, even though we may know it, but we still need to keep growing and not just be settled with what we already know. In Jesus' name, amen.